This is Parenting for the Everyday, a podcast dedicated to meeting parents in the trenches of parenthood. We explore how our faith fits into our parenting. With the help of our guests, we are seeking practical tips on how the gospel can speak into our day-to-day parenting. From the easy stuff to the hard stuff, we want to talk about it all.
This is Parenting for the Everyday. I'm Holly Dykandrew.
And I'm Becca Alvarez.
And on today's episode, we have a hot, hot, hot topic. We are talking about social media, which has become a huge issue in a lot of ways, specifically in parenting. And as a parent, I have a 14-year-old, and it's like, how do we navigate this world? Is it bad? Is it not bad? All the things. And so we are joined in the studio by James Talbert, and I'm going to toss it over to you, let you introduce yourself, tell us why you're passionate about this topic.
Absolutely. I'm James. I am a dad of a 6-year-old and the husband of a wonderful woman named Julia. And I'm a teaching pastor at a church in downtown Akron called Citizens. So I enjoy it a lot. And at Citizens, I do a lot with youth, though I'm a teaching pastor. And I also teach at a school called Cuyahoga Valley Christian Academy. So my life is kind of surrounded by teenagers in healthy ways. So, yeah. So that's me. So the topic is something that I think about a whole ton, trying to minister to students and families. This is it's a very prevalent and pressing topic.
Yeah, because it's everywhere. And so much of life is now happening on social media, which I'm sure we'll dive into. But maybe should we define social media, or should we start with highlighting, like, what are the main forms of social media so we can kind of say, you know, what exactly are we talking about? Because it's kind of broad.
Got you. So, like, theoretically, when we think about social media, it's interactive technologies that facilitate the creation, sharing, and aggregation of content.
Okay.
Right? So, in an ethereal sense, but in a very real and tangible and tenable sense, it's a fourth space, right? So Starbucks, when they begin to get really huge, they called it a third space philosophy. So they said, there's a place that you live and there's a place that you work, and you have to go to those two places. But they said they wanted Starbucks to be that third space. So their philosophy was, we're going to not only sell coffee, but we're going to create an atmosphere and an environment by which people can come together and have an experience. So it's more than coffee. It's an experience. Social media, in reality, is a fourth place. If you are...
That's super interesting. I've never heard it explained like that.
Yeah, so if you're not, like, if you're part of Generation X, it's not a fourth space for you. But if you're a millennial, in very real ways, whether it was AIM and our screen names...
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
It's rosy cheeks.
There we go. So you had the screen names, but that was a form of social media. It was another space. It was a form of connection. And it grew from there to MySpace being a real big boom. And from there, Facebook.
Yep.
And from Facebook, now it's hard to keep up.
Yeah.
So you've got Instagram. You've got Snapchat. You've got everything that's happening within the world of Instagram and Snapchat. Mm-hmm. YouTube has turned into a whole social media platform. So there's a... Yeah. There's a bunch now.
TikTok, Threads, Reddit.
There's
so many platforms.
So many.
Yeah.
And I feel like theoretically social media started out, like you said, in fourth space. I've never heard it explained like that. But it started out to really connect people, especially people that were living all over the world. And it really does that in some ways. But it also has all these unintended consequences, too, that go along with social media that now I feel like we're seeing more and more, I think, as millennials become parents who grew up in it. And so we have our own kind of ways of social media, and then with kids, how important it is to them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's almost like, at this point, I feel like with kids, it's almost like another form of the way that you have friendships. And I have a kid who doesn't have social media, which I was teasing. He tells me all the time he's the only kid in the world without social media. But his argument is that he is missing out on what is happening. And he is not able to grow his friendships because he doesn't have access to where those friendships are growing. And that's how he sees it. But let's talk for a minute. What does social media do to us? It's kind of a broad question, but...
Yeah, I think social media, like anything, has its good and its bad. So social media, again, and especially I would say for Gen Z, Alpha, like Gen Z and below, it's a space where they literally exist. So as a millennial, I use social media in ways to connect with people. Like I want to keep up with my friends from college, my friends from high school. I want to see the pictures of my cousin's baby, who I'm not going to see till Christmas, and life's busy, so we can't text message, but I can hop on Facebook and boom, there's the pictures of my new little cousin. I'm excited. They know I care because I can post some emojis under it of all the little hearts in a row, and we're connected. But I don't seek to exist on social media. For, Gen Z and below, it's a space where they exist. So with that comes the good and the bad. The negative effects, there is a documentary called The Social Dilemma. So the Center for Humane Technology, a guy named Tristan Harris, really headed it up. It's absolutely phenomenal. And it gets into, on a very deep level, the negative effects. But Tristan Harris coined the phrase the attention economy. So social media, it's literally an economic engine and it's an economic system. So the algorithm is designed to capture your attention. It's designed to keep you on there. And because of the ads, it's a literal business now. So companies are paying social media companies to literally make it as addictive as possible. So the attention economy, what it's literally doing to our brains, our kids' brains, is it's a system where dopamine is released every time that they see a like. And what it's doing to our kids really is it is forming them. So we all know that everything is forming us. We're being formed by something. God created us to be formed, and he created us to be formed by him. But when we're not being intentionally formed by him, we're being formed by something. Unfortunately, right now, what the attention economy is doing is it's forming our kids and it's saying, hey, you need to look like this, you need to dress like this, you need to talk like this. It's literally shortening the attention spans. Mm-hmm. So everything's a 30-second TikTok reel.
I was going to say 15 seconds. Yeah, so quick.
Yeah, it's so quick. So it's doing a lot. Yeah, it's doing a lot of that. On the other hand, so Barna just did this study, and it's called Gen Z. It's really, really good. I would highly suggest just looking at the cliff notes for anybody of that study. But in that study, they do a lot of research on social media. And the woman who did it, Dr. Heather Thompson, she's going to say 30% of the kids that they interviewed, so they interviewed thousands of kids, 30% of them said that the reason that they stayed in the church after high school was because of social media.
Ooh, so
especially in the pandemic, they're watching videos and there's influencers who are talking about the Bible. And because they're a part of that economy, it's a space where they exist and they're a part of that culture. If an influencer tells them to read the Bible, or if an influencer is putting the Bible in a way that they can understand, and they've already been enculturated by church, it's quite literally another means and another form of discipleship for them. So I think there's the definite negative effects. The social dilemma, like, goes into that. Like, it's literally addictive. Mm-hmm. Like,
Same way drugs would be addictive.
Same way drugs are addictive.
The same neural pathways are used.
Absolutely. But I think in other ways, I think it's a discipleship opportunity for parents and for churches. If it's going to be a place where kids exist, then how are we teaching them how to exist well in that space as the people of God? So I think, I think it has its positives and negatives, definitely.
I love that, because I think that it is common to only see the negative sides of social media. And I'm on social media, so that would be hypocritical of me to just talk badly about it. We know the impact and the effect is huge, and it can be very negative. And I feel like I can see the negative impact in myself when I'm on it too much. But I love the balance that there is good there too, and we can find a way to make that good maybe outweigh the bad, or at least use it in a way to help our kids develop in a different way. The bad doesn't have to win, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, even further than that, it feels like our kids are going to exist in a world where social media exists.
Yes.
It is not realistic.
Yes. It's not going away.
To go into the parenting strategy of, I'm just going to teach my kids that social media is bad and they shouldn't be on it, right? Not only would it be hypocritical, but it's just, that's not going to be the world they live in. So part of our parenting strategy needs to be what you're talking about, of saying, like, how do we help them exist in a healthy way in this space? And maybe that's a little bit what we can dive into now. Is there an age that you would say, hey, this is when, you know, I like answers. Like, give me the black and white checklist.
If you were to write a plan
for my kid, you know, is there an age or an age range where you used to say, hey, before this age, seriously, it's more harm than good. There's no good that can come out of it. When would you start opening that door?
Yeah. And I mean, it's different for every family, and it's different for, for every kid, because every kid is different. So even within some families that I know, one kid is like able to be on social media, but they know the other kid. I would say the biggest thing is each social media platform has built-in parental guides. So I would say, like, for parents to become knowledgeable about those parental guides that are offered in each platform, a lot of them are really, really good. So let's take Snapchat, for instance. Snapchat has a part of their platform called My Eyes Only. And it's a joke, but it's not a joke. But a lot of the CVCA students, I always tell them, like social media is where the devil lives. Like, my youth pastor was a Southern dude, so he would always, the devil lives there, the devil lives. So I tell him, I'm like, yo, like, the devil's in the DMs. Like, the devil's, like, just say it. Like, don't be sliding in DMs. Like, the devil lives in these places. But there's a part of it called My Eyes Only. So you can send a password-protected picture to, like, or a password protected video to, like, someone else, and no one else can see it unless you give the person that password. Parents can literally block that. Like, there are ways to block that from being used. On Instagram, there are ways that you can look at your kids' DMs, even if they have Finsta accounts, which, like, fake Instagram.
Yeah.
So even if they have Finsta accounts, there are ways that you can look into those things. So I would say, like, before age even, I would say for parents, like, there are so many resources. Center for Humane Technology, like Tristan Harris, he puts out blogs all the time about that. Barna does a good job. There's a ton of stuff from the Fuller Youth Institute just instructing parents on those things. So I would say, like, to become knowledgeable about that. And then I would say second, I wouldn't, so personally, from being around a lot of teenagers, there are levels to social media. I think there are good gateway platforms for kids to kind of start figuring it out. I think Snapchat is a lot for, like, a middle schooler. And a lot of the things that we see, in the school, a lot of things that I see, like, in the ministry we do in our neighborhood, like, Snapchat's a whole lot for, like, an 11 or 12 year old. I would probably say, like, I would wait until a kid's in high school for platforms like Snapchat. But Instagram has so many, like Facebook and Instagram, they literally have so many parental guides and so many ways to monitor. I would say, like, if a kid's mature, maybe in middle school, for some of those gateway platforms like Facebook and Instagram. But I would say for Snapchat and TikTok, like, I would probably wait until high school. Yeah.
Are there filters maybe not filters, but parental guides and controls for TikTok?
Oh yeah, there's a ton of them, but you can easily get around them.
Yeah.
We have kids who have 10 to 15 like email accounts created so that they can create like different accounts on different platforms. So again, like, there are ways around a lot of it. Facebook and Instagram they do a really good job of, like, of seeing commonalities and accounts and friends. But for Snapchat, I literally know kids with like 5 fake Snapchat accounts and private accounts. And
I mean, let's talk a little bit about, we talked about how negative in a general sense, but let's dive in deeper. Like, what are the dangers if we as parents kind of miss this and we just I don't know. I don't want to say let them have it too soon because that's too black and white. But if we just miss helping our kids be healthy there, what are some of the damages that exist or that will result from that unhealthiness?
Yeah, I think there's like a... So one, I don't want to like say there's a spiritual and then there's an emotional, because those things are connected, I believe. I believe they intersect. But there really is like from an emotional side, like... bullying is huge. Like when I was in middle school, bullying was like, you have to like verbally make fun of me to bully me, mm-hmm. or I have to verbally make fun of you
to your face.
Yeah. And bullying was a very like, but now like there's so many kids getting bullied in so many different ways. And like the psychological effect that it has on kids is it says that there are levels in which that behavior is okay. And what it's doing to a lot of kids is it's telling them, like, well, maybe I am this thing. Like, if someone posts this on social media and 200 people like it, then...
maybe there's truth.
Yeah, maybe there's truth to this. So I think there's very, yeah, there's very real emotional effects. And with teenagers, like, we all have to remember that their frontal lobes aren't going to be formed until they're like 25. They're very concrete thinkers, especially middle schoolers. They're incredibly concrete thinkers. So if someone posts something about them and says that they're this, they can't see like the abstract world above that that says, well, just because they said that, it doesn't mean that I am this. And especially for parents, like affirming kids and their identity in Christ and who they are and the things that they're good at, and then just constant affirmation in those things really could help defeat what's going on there. So I would say like a part of spiritual formation for Gen Z and Gen Alpha has to be, what does Christ think about social media? How would Christ have me to interact on social media? What is my identity? What am I portraying on social media? How am I living an unfiltered life? I think that those questions for parents, for youth pastors, and for anyone around youth, it has to be like, this is a part now of spiritual formation. This is a space where they exist. And yeah, it has to be a part of it.
I know even as like an adult, I can struggle with reality when you see social media, yeah. right? Because yeah. not just what someone's saying about me, but what they're posting about their own life. So I can say, oh man, their yeah. kids are so much better behaved than mine. I must be failing. Their house always looks clean. Mine doesn't. I must be failing. And I, you know, am a grown adult who still struggles with that. So when yeah. I think about a middle schooler and abstract thinking, I feel like they're just not able to know that, like, this is not real. This is not real life. Yeah. And that's really hard to live in that space.
It also just seems like it so unlocks this other part of humanity and unleashes it in a lot of different ways. If you've ever looked at a post and looked through some comments, like, people yeah. just feel like they have the liberty to say whatever, to fight with whoever. And
they
it just
never
bring,
say
no, no. And you brought up a great point with the bullying is, when we were in school, you did have to bully someone to their face, which is a lot harder to do, to be mean to someone to their face. Online has given this capability that you can hide behind a screen and say whatever you want with virtually no consequence. And so it's just kind of creating this freedom for people to be the worst version of themselves and then treat others that way. I sent you a video that was super interesting, and it was a post by Julia Roberts, who posted something with her niece, who's Emma Roberts, who's also super, super famous, and they just got trashed online because they didn't feel like Julia Roberts looked as pretty as she should, or she's not aging well, and she talked about her experience reading the comments and reading them fighting with each other about how mean they were to her and how they should be nice and all of these different things and different content. She said, I'm a 50-year-old woman who knows who I am. And this still hurt my feelings and had a neurological impact on me. I can't imagine being 15, being unsure of who I am, uncertain, and just seeing this day after day. And that is kind of the world that we're allowing our kids to be in if you're deciding to let your kids be on social media with no filters and no boundaries. You're just hoping that an interaction like that doesn't happen and doesn't profoundly impact them moving forward. And I think the truth is they're not getting out of it unscathed.
Yeah. And I don't think filters could protect from bullying or that type of situation. It is mind blowing for me to think through that Julia Roberts,
right,
you know, was shook.
Yes.
And how is my, you know, how is any middle schooler who lives in a space where they are not comfortable in their own skin doesn't come out unscathed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Facebook has the, I'm not on Facebook very often, but when I do log on, it has like, you posted this 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And let me just tell you, 12 years ago, Becca thought I was pretty mature. The things that I posted, that's the other thing, is like, you're just like, the sheer embarrassment you could save your kids from is keeping them off of social media. Because it is, it was super cringy.
I think even just knowing too that even with parental controls and filters, there's still explicit content that is getting in through different places, like on all of these platforms. And so I don't know. I'm like, I don't even know what question to ask. It's like, how do we protect our kids? Like, we can put the parental controls on, but they don't always work. They can create fake accounts. They can move around. They've got friends who don't have parental controls who can show them different things. Is the secret to all of this just that we as parents need to be building into their identity, like as Christ? Is it as simple as that?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things there. So the New York Times came out, this was in 2022. They came out with a series of articles. The Surgeon General. So the same Surgeon General that declared COVID a global pandemic, the same Surgeon General declared loneliness a cultural epidemic. So he basically said that, like, the rates of suicide, the rates of counseling, like, everything that you could attach loneliness to is becoming an epidemic. So the reality is the world around us is longing for real, authentic social connection. I think one of the biggest things we can offer to our kids is real, authentic social connection. And being around teenagers all the time, to look them in their eyes and to ask them how they're doing. Like, they often don't know how to respond because often, like, their heads are stuck in a phone, or when they're in social situations, their heads are stuck in a phone, or when they're in church, their heads are stuck in a phone. But to have an authentic, like, hey, I care about you, I'm interested in what you're interested in, I think that goes such a long way. And I think for parents, I know I often think about this. The other night, I was sitting with my daughter, and she's only 6, so, like, she doesn't have, like, social media. But she has that little pink tablet. And I joke around with her all the time. I'm like, you're going to turn into that tablet. Like, if she could do anything, like, we mitigate, like, her screen time and all that good stuff. But if we said, hey, you can do anything all day, she would say, Daddy, take me rock climbing. I'm going to get a Happy Meal, and I'm going to watch my tablet for the rest of the day. Like, she loves that thing. And it was her tablet time. It was her screen time. And the other day, I just took it away, and I was like, hey, can you tell me 3 things that happened at school? And she struggled through it at first. She wanted to watch her tablet. She didn't want to. But man, what happened was so beautiful. And I was like kicking myself afterwards. I was like, why don't I do this every day? I was like, why don't I do this every day? Because I learned so much about her. I'm like, man, like, she's not a baby anymore. Like, she kind of has, like, somewhat complex emotions. And she's, like, processing through, like, school, and she, like, asked me why they don't talk about Jesus at her school. Like, she goes to a public school, and we're, like, dialoguing through all this stuff, and I'm like, man, she actually, I'm like, wow. And I'm, like, learning about her world. And then she asked me, like, she's like, what'd you do today? And I'm like, oh, what did I do today? And we're, like, having this, like, genuine interaction. So I think, along with, like, being knowledgeable about social media and the mitigation, I think authentic social interactions with our kids, I think they go such a long way, because that's just not the world that they live in now.
That requires us to put down our screen.
Requires us to drop our screens as well.
And I would challenge even James, I have young kids as well. And I think that we are not in the social media stage yet, which I'm so grateful for, and hope that maybe it goes away in the next 10 years and it'll be great. Prayers up. But in case it doesn't, I think that a muscle to be working on if you have young kids is to allow yourself to go through discomfort, whether you are at dinner and you want to give them a screen because it just make it easier and you can have an adult conversation because they're going to be occupied. That is totally fine sometimes, but I would challenge to not do it every time because of those moments, because you do miss sometimes these nuggets that you don't even know that they're capable of because they're growing up so much quicker than you think that they are. You'll miss some if you don't push through some discomfort, through some, I want my tablet or I want to watch this or that. Just kind of practice that muscle early on so that as your kids are getting older, you're ready to have some of the fights that you're going to have.
Yeah. Well, going along, even building those muscles and setting boundaries and limits, what are some other healthy boundaries that we could set for our kids as they enter into the social media world? I assume that we're not just like, okay, here you go. Have access.
You're
16. Do it all. So what are those boundaries that we're setting?
Yeah, I think. And I talked to our church does a neighborhood ministry, and we dialogue with a lot of the parents of our teenagers. We have like family dinners often with just our neighbors, and it's awesome. But we were talking about something pretty similar the other day because, we're talking to a woman. She's a single mom, and her oldest daughter is kind of like parent two of like her other two kids. She's quite a bit older than the other two, and she's kind of just like parent two. And she's like, hey, I want her to be a teenager. She's like, I don't want her to feel like she has to be like parent too. And we're dialoguing through this. And she's like, but man, she's like, I also want to like, she's like, I feel like she has this whole social media persona. And she's a YouTube channel. And we're like talking through all that. And I just asked her, I was like, okay. I was like, so she's 16. I was like, when she drives, what do you do? And then she just started telling me all the rules that she has around like her driving. She's like, well, she's like, I make sure that when she gets to the destination that she texts me. She's like, I'm tracking her to make sure that she gets there safely. And she just starts like going through this whole plan that she has around her daughter driving. And her daughter goes to Hoban, which is like right in our neighborhood. So she's only driving most of the time, like 4 minutes away from her house. But we're like talking through that, and I'm like, you should sit down with your daughter and you guys should create rules around her YouTube channel as well. I was going to say her site, and that sounds 60, but her YouTube channel as well. And I'm like, so, and as we start talking through that, I think there are some base rules that we can set. But I think again, like every kid is different. And some kids genuinely need like more structures, more rails. They need a deeper trellis. Some kids, but I think some base rules. I think like in the same way with parents of small children. So I'm going to say like, you got a half hour screen time in the morning and you have this much screen time at night. I think like creating those structures, and the younger you create those structures, I think they just become cultural as kids grow. So I would say like mitigating like screen time in general. That same Barna article I was talking about earlier is going to say that 13 to 17 year olds are going to log 5 hours a day, and then 17 to 21 year olds are going to log 7 hours a day
on social media.
On social media. So most of them don't like. So for our late adolescents or our 17 to 21 year olds, most of them don't sleep 7 hours a day. Like,
yeah.
So the idea of like mitigating like the time and like culturally embedding in our kids, like, hey, like this is important. There's a woman in our community. She's great. She's a great parent. We all look to her. She's a little bit older than us. So like we all look to her and her husband to like teach us how to be parents. But she's real big with her kids on like, she's like I want you to spend more time with Jesus than like you spend on like the screen. And she's like, she's hardcore about it, but her kids really love Jesus.
I like that driving analogy. That was a really good analogy. Your kid is getting ready to drive and you have a plan, right? Yeah. We're all, you know, I'm thinking about it. What are we going to do? What are the rules going to be? Because you don't just hand the keys and you're like,
right.
See you when I see ya.
Right.
You know? And so as parents, we need to have a social media plan and we need to be more proactive than reactive. And deciding that early on together with your spouse feels like some wisdom in that, to sit down and be like, okay, what do we think is healthy? And then, you know, we're going to toe that, even if culture is telling us more. We're saying, no, this is not healthy for our kid. That, you know, in the beginning, you talked about the fact that they were defining their person almost through that.
Yeah.
And it's forming them. And so as parents, we should be really proactive on like what influences we're allowing to form our kids. Mm-hmm.
Well, James, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for spending time.
Yeah.
Just a reminder that you are speaking at the Parent Summit, and I'm sure that there's so much more. We are just barely scratching the surface of social media, of the impact it has on our kids. So make sure that you sign up for the Parent Summit and go to James's breakout session. We so appreciate it. I feel like I learned a lot. Yeah. I was super shocked about some things, and so really appreciate
the video is going to be great because our faces.
Tune in to our YouTube channel. Yeah. You'll see a video. But thank you for tuning in, and this has been Parenting for the Everyday. Tune in next time.